Hello, hello, KSCO 1080 AM listeners. You are back with Better by the Minute Life with Becca in my show. I love to be able to share people who are rising above and giving hope to others. Today's guest, we've had her on before. She is absolutely amazing. And she's going to share a little more about her story on beating the odds. I love that, Heather. Heather Hagar is a homeschooling mom. She has a passion to guide moms into being energized as moms. We have so many different hats on during the day, but she has a special place in her heart to work with foster kids who are aging out of the system and helping them get the personal development opportunities and resources that they need. So today we're going to be focusing on not holding on to a victim of circumstance. Heather, welcome to Better by the Minute Life with Becca.
Hi, Becca. Good morning. Thank you for having me, and I'm excited to discuss how to not be a victim, to figure out your circumstances and keep going.
And I love the fact, Heather, that you are just so positive. I've watched you over the last few years and how you've just blossomed and really using your experiences to not only raise and help develop in your own children, but those around you. Share a little bit about what you have experienced in life, and if you don't mind, and how you are using that experience to add value to the lives of others.
Thank you, Becca. Yeah, the short form story, for me, I was born to teenage parents who didn't really have a clue. And so that caused a lot of turmoil in my life. I ended up in foster care at a pretty young age, and then again as a teenager. And at this point in time, I'm a wife, I'm a mother of two children, and my parents both have passed on. My mom at 13, and then my dad just in 2007, the year before my kids were born. So having the parental stability that is so important in young people's lives, to have them as role models, to have them as mentors, was not something that was a part of my story. So those, just with that little short bit of historical knowledge of my story, one of the things that I found is mentors in my life have been so crucial. I was able to have people placed in my life, and I shouldn't say I, God placed those people in my life that helped me to realize that my life didn't have to be a continuation of that bad story, that I could have something different. And I am super grateful for, I was just making a list earlier today of the people that God placed in my life and at different times. And it's very interesting, the friendships that were made, when I was in high school, the friendships that were made when I was a young adult, and then getting married to a wonderful man. The past 20 years we've been together and raising two kids who are quickly becoming teenagers. And just looking at that and seeing how just one person can make a difference in your life. And I have had several of those one persons, in different seasons of my life. And for me, I would like to be an encouragement. I want to be that one person in someone else's life. And right now, what God has given me is, my husband, and he's given me my two children. So I get to be that one person who is an encourager, who gets to show them, you might want to think about that, before you act on something that might not be in your best interest. And just, to be a person that can look into their lives and to try to bless them. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that God has given me that. And I've been in touch the last couple of years with some people who are in the foster care arena here in my hometown. And I'm planning to speak to a group of prospective foster parents, people who are just starting to begin the process. And I was blessed to have really good foster families and people who, you know, made me a part of their family, made me a part of their life, and showed me, you know, a better way.
So I know that you've mentioned a couple times that you may not have been the perfect foster child. I know you have so much gratitude for your foster parents that you have been blessed with in your life. And there's foster parents out there that are going through it right now. What would you say to them?
Every kid comes into a home from a very, you know, imperfect situation. Otherwise, you know, they wouldn't be in foster care, right? Sometimes it's the family dynamics. Sometimes it's choices that they've made that have disrupted the family dynamics. So advice for prospective foster parents is, you know, give the kids some space. Keep them on some kind of schedule so that they know what to expect. Expectations are huge. Because, you know, we have all of these rules that we came out of a different situation, and now we're trying to acclimate to this new situation, and we don't know what to expect. And if the expectations are made really clear, kids, we're smart. And I'm not a kid anymore, but we're, you know, we adapt and we can, you know, fit into the family, but we do need to know what those expectations are. And then lots of love. They need people to just be with them, to listen to them and have compassion. It's difficult, you know, bringing a kid into your family, especially if you have other children, can really change the dynamics of your family. So you want to be on guard of whatever issues that child might be bringing into your family. And you know, if they're older, they can have the conversation. We understand, you know, these are things that we can talk about with the family. These are things I would appreciate we didn't talk about, you know, with siblings.
Now, what would you say to your foster parents now? If you had them standing in front of you, what would you say to them?
Just that I was super grateful, you know, that they sacrificed that time and that energy to bring me into their lives, to help guide me and be a person that I could look up to. I had two specific foster families when I was a teenager who were very instrumental in helping me, you know, complete high school, to do the applications to get into college, to be a support system for me. And, you know, I got my driver's license, you know, in my foster mom's car. Just different things that they were very instrumental in helping me, you know, because I didn't have that family support.
Yeah, and that is very important. I can't imagine. I really can't. So I feel very blessed, but my heart goes out to those who haven't had that, because I know so many that haven't had that support that a kid deserves, but because of circumstances. But what brings us here today is, despite a little bit of non-perfect, you have been able to take that imperfections and use it as progress towards where you are now. It's part of your story that has formed you into the amazing woman that you are and the mentor. I watch you, I listen to you, and I'm like, oh, I want to be a foster mom, you know? And just be somebody that speaks into somebody's life and gives them that foundation, that stability to be able to thrive. Because now you are thriving. I mean, even before kids, like you said, you finished high school, you went to college, you had an amazing career. What were some of the key things that helped you choose what you wanted to do, and what most importantly kept you going?
No, I think people are motivated in different ways, different aspects. I really, really knew what I didn't want. And so that was more of a motivating force in my life than actually knowing what I wanted. There were some things, you know, I knew I wanted a family. I knew I wanted a career. I knew I wanted love and security, but I had no idea really what that was going to look like. But I knew what I didn't want. I knew I didn't want this dysfunction. I didn't want broken relationships. And so I've always really concentrated on friendships and relationships and building bridges. I saw a lot of my, what you want to call them, compatriots in group home care, you know, who would just tear down everything good that was around them. And, you know, that's a season, you know, of our lives. And until we're open to growing and understanding that our life can be different, I was able to, you know, look at what I didn't want and let that motivate me to get the things that I did want.
That's awesome. So thinking back, can you think of what brought those things of what you did want to mind? How did you know that there was something different?
So I am a personal development junkie. I discovered Tony Robbins when I was in my early 20s and read his, you know, Awaken the Giant Within book, you know, cover to cover quickly, and went on from there. And one of the key things that I remember from that particular experience was just what's good about this situation and trying to reframe your focus, because there's a lot to look at that's not good, right? We can get there pretty quickly.
We can get stuck there really fast for a very long time.
Right. But if you can look at what's good about this situation and reframe it so that it can benefit you and where you're going, you know, one of the things that this is maybe off the subject, but, you know, say you don't have a lot of experience for getting a job or going through a job interview. I looked at that and it's like, okay, how could I get it? What do I need? And so, like, I don't know if people are familiar with job service agencies, like Manpower. So I thought Manpower is like the best thing ever, because you can go in there and not really have a lot of skills, but go get placed in a job and then figure out how to do that job. And then figure out if you like it, you know, to do it really well. And then the employer will hire you, or you'll get assigned to another job that then you can go learn about that job. I was very much into personal development and learning new things, and the traditional academic track didn't really work for me. I did not end up graduating from college. And I think a lot of that just was the season of my life. I was needing to find out who I was, what I wanted to do. And so books, I would say that one of the key things for me outside of having those mentors were books.
I love audiobooks.
Yeah, I just finished one this morning. I'm Mach 2. It was Richard Bliss Brook, I think, and talking a lot about being the thing that you want. And then I love this comment he had made in one of his discussions. You know, if you need discipline and commitment to something, then it might mean you don't really want to do it. And I know it was really kind of eye-opening to me. It's like, because in order for you to, like, say you want to be a healthy person, and this is something I talk with my clients, you know, what is it that you want? You know, if you really truly do want health in your life and more energy in your life, then your mindset's got to gradually be that person. You've got to start thinking like that person. You've got to start acting like that person. And then it becomes more fluid and less of this white knuckling it. You become that person. Because if I have to, I got to walk today. No, I get to walk today. You know, I have to eat this or I have to drink this. It's like, no, I get to do these things, and that's who I am. And that's a huge, huge, huge mind shift. And I think it can be applied in lots of different areas of our life.
But you mentioned a huge mind shift. Where would your mind have been when you were a teenager when it came to that?
Oh, it wasn't there. As a teenager, I was more in a survival mode. I was really clueless about what was good for me, what wasn't good for me. had it not been for the families that I was placed in as a late teenager, I don't know that I would have had a clue what was good for me.
Well, I'm so thankful for those who really have it in their heart to be able to reach out to the kids that may not have the support that they need, may not have a home where they can feel love. I mean, my heart goes out to you because now you as an adult, you're reaching out to those folks as somebody that's been in the system and can help really give them the encouragement, not only in sharing kind of an insight of what these kids, even though they don't act like they need it or want it, I think it's something that they really need to experience, whether they want it or need it. And you are an amazing example of what is possible because of being somebody being a mentor to you.
Right. And then meeting the kids where they're at and being able to be there and listen, because I think, you know, like you said, you know, the pushback, they don't think they need your help, right? They don't know what they don't know. And until they build that relationship with you and trust you, they're not going to share, you know, they're not going to share themselves with you, and they're not going to listen. So I think a lot of it, you know, when you're just starting out with somebody in your home, just being there, being available is super important. Not trying to, you know, get through this checklist that you, this is what you want to do, this is how you want to help them. You can see all their issues, but unless they see them, they're not going to work on it.
That's true. And I was just thinking, you know, this goes beyond just, you know, kids that are part of the system, but blended families are so common these days, and parents coming in with kids already involved and trying to figure out where you fit in. Well, love, encouragement, setting expectations, letting them know they're loved and what you expect from them. I have to do that with my own birth child, you know, right, making sure that he knows exactly what is expected out of him. And even my older kids, they'll come to me. It's like, Mom, I don't know what to do. It's like, okay, well, I'm glad you came to me. Let's talk about it. Let's look at the pros. Let's look at the cons. Let's see what is serving or not serving you and where you want to be in life. Even though you don't know what you want to do when you grow up.
Yeah.
30 years old. But let's figure it out.
And that has been a crucial exercise that I have repeated over and over my life. You know, get out that piece of paper, write whatever the decision is at the top, put a line down the middle of the paper, pros on one side, cons on the other, and then, you know, let it sit, you know, and look at it again, you know, the next day. And how do you feel about those things? And that has been almost all the major decisions that I've made, relationships that I was in, places I was going to move, jobs I was going to take. I've done that exercise.
Yeah, it's important, I think, because a lot of times we can just roll things around in our head. But it's not the same as putting it on paper and seeing it in black and white, being able to look at it, being able to check things off, scratch through, rewrite, really have that physical interaction with the decision.
Right. Jordan Peterson mentioned in one of his lectures that writing is thinking. And the more you write, the more you can formalize your thoughts and, you know, be certain of what it is that you think.
That's important because our thoughts matter. I know there's a lot of kids that have heard, I don't care what you think. Well, your thoughts are important and you should care about what you think. If nobody else does, know that you yourself are valued. You have value. You have so much to offer somebody else, but that somebody else you may not have met yet. You know, that goes for the adults, just whether you're officially, you know, helping within some type of system, just in church as a mentor, you know, reaching down, giving that smile, giving that hug, you know, all those different things that that can really make a difference in a kid's life. I'm just encouraging our audience to be that light of hope that really touches somebody's life of any age. Now, I know there's some kids that are non-touchables. There's other kids that thrive on touch and smiles and just kind words. Do you have any type of thoughts on that and what somebody can do as a mentor and speaking into somebody's life that with different love languages?
Yeah, and I think, you know, asking questions, you know, finding out what they're interested in, you know, spending the actual time. Time is such a valuable commodity, and, you know, we get so busy that we don't pay attention or notice the things that might be, you know, affecting someone's life. And asking the questions, you know, how are you? And then listening, you know, not just like in passing, you know, listening and, oh, you know, what do you got planned this week? And finding out what is going on in their lives and then showing an interest in it and, you know, a genuine interest, you know, it's, oh, tell me more about that. Why do you like that? What are you looking forward to in regards to what they've got planned? Just trying to get them to open up and knowing that you care. You know, I think they will talk to you if they trust you and if they know that you genuinely care about them.
And I think society has really put kind of a Jersey barrier on doing that, as you know, because there's so many people that are not full of good intention, that anytime that something is, reach out to somebody, ask questions, you show an interest, especially as adult going into the lives of a younger person, you get that creepiness factor because of media. And I think that that's something that we need to not let it hold us back. We need to not be formed by, I mean, if you're coming from a position of a good heart, truly caring, truly want to see how you can fit into being a positive light, whether it's a role model, whether it's just a positive bright point in somebody's day, don't let society and the things that are going on around us stop you from doing that, because you never know. You never know whose life you're going to touch. Like this wonderful lady right here. I mean, she's touched my life and in so many different ways just in the last 2 years. She doesn't even know. But I appreciate you, Heather. We are coming up on a break. So thank you, everybody, for hanging in here with us. Visit my website, betterbytheminutelive.com. We will... By the Minute Life with Becca. I am Becca Dukes, and I forgot to mention that in the beginning, but I'm excited to have you here with us. And I invite you to visit my website, betterbytheminutelife.com, where you will find more information about myself and what I do, and all of my guests also, and ways that you can connect with them. Because I know everybody's not going to connect with me, but I have so many different guests who are coming from different areas of life that have value and talents that can be beneficial to others. And that is one thing that I have wanted to do in creating Better by the Minute Life with Becca, giving you the resources that empower you to have the best life possible. Now, in that, we have created communities, Heather. And I know for you, you are involved in so many different communities. Share with us a little bit, what is the most valuable part of being in a community to you?
Being in a community for me means that I have an opportunity to share with others. I have an opportunity to glean from others, and having the camaraderie that a community brings, you can see them voicing things that you've been voicing in your mind, but they're saying them. You're like, oh yeah, I was thinking something like that. And it gets verbalized in community. The beautiful things about it, I think too, is that we obviously you're not alone. You're not on this island, you know, thinking of this idea all by yourself. How am I going to conquer the world?
Right.
But in a community, you're like, oh, how can we work together to obtain these different goals that we have? In some communities, you know, they're working towards the same goal. And in some communities, you have, you know, lots of people working on different things, but they have some commonality that brings them together. And the communities that I'm in right now, pretty much, you know, revolve around my kids and my family. We've got a good church community. We've got a good homeschool community. I run a side business that I have community in, that we're able to share ideas and get feedback on the things that we're doing. And then personal development communities. If you are trying to become a better public speaker, you know, we're talking about Toastmasters on the break. That is a wonderful organization that you can go into and get practice, because that's how we get better at doing things, is getting that practice in and then getting the feedback from others on how we did. Yeah, I truly believe, you know, communities help make the world go round. We can't do it all on our own. We need others. We need the help of others. We need the support of others.
And others need us. So it's not just a take, take, take in this world, but the more that we give, I truly believe the more we receive. And in finding a community that is right for you, there's so many different options. Heather mentioned church. She's got her homeschooling group. She's got business groups. Finding out, write it down. What are your interests? What do you have a passion for? There's a nonprofits that could use volunteers and being part of a community like that. And if you can't find a community, create one. Create one that is supportive of the things that you love, whether it's gardening, cooking and reaching out, helping seniors, helping kids, being that extra support to help single parents or two-parent families that have to work. And it doesn't matter what your age is, whether you're younger, whether you're older. I mean, for me as a grandmother, being able to spend extra time with my grandkids, not all kids have grandparents. So think about that. Where can you fit in that is adding value, that then also is creating a community, or injecting yourself into a community where not only can you be fed, but also you can feed and give others. And I'm not feeding like talking like just food, but emotional, mental, physical, all of those aspects of life that create this holistic synergy in life. Heather, I know you have so many different hats.
Yes, but my most immediate hat coming up quickly is our homeschool conference. So I'm helping gather up vendors and finding out who is going to be attending and who they would most likely like to hear from. So we usually have a couple of math vendors, a couple of English literature type vendors, and then we also have things in the community like Trailblazers and American Heritage Girls, different organizations, which are also, you know, communities that can help along with homeschooling, because you don't want it to be that island. You don't want to be off there, you know, doing it all on your own. As much the kind of myth with homeschooling is that, you know, what about socialization? And, you know, if you are active in your church, you've got that. If you have a large family, you have that. And then you have other activities that you can get your children involved in. So it's, you know, not only community is important for us as adults, it's important for our children. And that's been a fun thing to experience with my kids. They do scouts, and they have a little show choir that they're in. So they get to learn different skills with public speaking and public presentations. Community is important.
You had mentioned the scouts and the choir, and I know there's dance. There's so many positive things that we can inject ourselves in and just grasp and take hold of that helps us at any and all ages. Building community. Being part of that community, you never know who's going to benefit from your presence. And with that presence, let's talk about what energy are we putting out that's going to either detract or attract others. The more that I work on myself, the better person I am for others in leading my communities and my teams and the people that I work with on a daily basis. You could have a mindset that, and I could too, you know, that is just so down and out on life, on society, especially right now with everything that's going on. Let's go into mindset and bringing the mindset to the community.
One of the things I try to do, Becca, anytime I'm having to do something, whether it's speaking or just going to a meeting or attending an event, and I didn't always do it, but I pray, you know, Lord, how can I be useful? Lord, give me the courage to share if it's appropriate. Give me the courage, you know, to reach out to someone who might need to hear something that, you know, he's already prepared for us to say. So that's been a huge shift, you know, for me, because, you know, we can go into communities and, like you said earlier, you can take, you know, and you can just keep getting fed. But if you pray beforehand, you know, going into that situation, Lord, make me useful. I think that is something that will make all of that go better. You know, the whole personal development key, we're doing that so that we can become more useful. You know what I mean? You know, if we, you know, have poor empathy skills or, you know, low compassion, or we're impatient or neurotic, you know, these are all areas that we can work on and we can improve ourselves, and so that we can be more useful to others, that we can be an encouragement, that we can walk alongside someone. A lot of what I do is field calls from prospective homeschooling families, either people who are pulling out from the school system or are just starting and have decided to homeschool, and walking alongside them, understanding where they're at, what fears they have, what things that they might feel that they're not competent or just don't have the confidence in being able to homeschool through high school. And I get to help them with that. The more we work on ourselves, the more we are able to help others.
Absolutely. I know what we read, what we listen to plays a big part into how we then are able to speak into the lives of others. If we're listening to doom and gloom, what are we going to be speaking out? Doom and gloom. We're surrounded by things that are not uplifting, and then we try to go into a group that's supposed to be uplifting. We don't have that energy within us to be able to be that uplifting soul in that community. So I think it's the self-development and really looking into what we can do to work on ourselves so that we can be a more valuable part of a community is so important, no matter where you find your community. And as we were talking on the break, there are so many different ways to find your community. There's social media has its positives and negatives. But one thing that I found about social media is you're able to find people that are like-minded that you are able to then create a community with, whether it's there in your local group, whether it's around the world. I mean, I love my international group where we're able to come together. We are like-minded in the sense that we care about people, we care about health, we all serve a loving God who we can freely speak about. And that's something that I was not raised with. In the corporate world, you did not talk religion, you did not talk politics, which I really work on keeping politics out of my communities, unless it's one of those communities where we do talk politics. So there's so much available. You just have to pick what it is that you're interested in. What talents and skills do you have that you want to share with everybody? And you have a lot of talents and you bring so much from life experiences into a community that you are able to really be a resource, be a sounding board, share information from the heart that's going to help somebody in their journey. And I know a lot of our listeners are coming from journeys that they have made it through, and we all still have work.
Yep. One of the themes we had discussed earlier is bringing beauty out of ashes. And all of us come into our life experience with a bag of ashes. And what we choose to do with that, you know, whether we choose to dwell in that place or we find out, like we said earlier, what could be good about the situation? How can God make me useful in the situation? How can I be a blessing because of the experiences that you've had? And I think, you know, when you bring that into a community and you pray beforehand, you know, how Lord, can I be useful? And you work on yourself in the personal development areas where you may have weaknesses, and then that you share your strength. You know, I think those are all things that can help, you know, uplift an individual, and a rising tide lifts all boats. So if you've got, you know, a couple people, you know, in your community who are, you know, doing really well, and, you know, learn from them and find out what it is that they're doing, you know, what habits have they developed into their life. And, you know, that's one of the things that I have a heart for is, like we had mentioned earlier, you know, helping young people overcome, you know, difficult upbringings and giving them an opportunity to learn the skills that they need to become successful in the different areas in their life. And you really can, you know, God does do that. You know, you read all the Bible stories, and none of us were perfect. And, you know, God makes something perfect out of us.
Absolutely. I'm excited. You're in the beginning stages of writing a book.
I am.
And in this, you are taking things that you would have appreciated and knowing and learning, and some of the stories that you've experienced, and putting it together in a book that is focused towards young adults.
I'm super excited. The working title right now is Beating the Odds. And I've got like 5 main themes in the book that I'm going to be covering. And they're, you know, the very basic, you know, kind of life skills that I think any of us can probably brush up on. But as someone who didn't come from a great structure, I think could be super beneficial. And I'll just share with you that the 5 areas I'll be covering in the book are habits and how those, you know, can kind of make or break you, emphasis on health and what that looks like in the different areas, not just your physical health, and then your professional skills and kind of like basic financial skills, learning, you know, how money works, being able to balance your checkbook, being able to be responsible with your debts. I come from a financial background, so that will be probably a larger chapter. And then finally, the last area is family. You know, God does put us in a family, and that is our first experience of community. And, you know, for better or for worse, your family is always going to be your family, whether it's dysfunctional or operating very nicely. And I'm going to be sharing some of the skills that I've learned over the years to have reconciliation with flawed family units, and then also building your own family. And whether that means the traditional, you know, husband and children, or whether that is a community that you create or become a part of, those things can be your family.
Yeah, so we have family by blood, but we also have chosen family, don't we?
That's true. Yeah, I got lots of chosen or interjected family.
Interjected, yes. Well, I like the chosen family. The chosen family are the ones that I spend the most time with. There are those interjected, but that's one thing that I love about choice and being able to look at life and say, okay, what is serving me? What is not serving me? What is allowing me to be able to thrive? What is holding me back from reaching my goals? That is one thing that self-development really can be beneficial in helping you figure that out. And now we went through a mindset class that is, well, it's been continual. It's not a two-week course that really goes deep into breaking through and figuring out what is holding you back. I know for me, I had a lot of things that I had buried from life. And being able to release and forgive, even though forgiveness was not asked, has been huge in my development and being able to be a better person for others.
Right. One of the things I've really enjoyed learning about on the whole mindset track is so much of our personality and behaviors are established way before we can say personality. You know, like that whole, you know, 0 to 7 ways that we were impacted and imprinted in patterns that we started that, you know, at the time worked really well for us. They gave us what we needed. They could protect us. But then as we grow older and we still have those patterns that aren't serving us, you know, that are actually, you know, tearing down the things that we're trying to build. I think that's been very enlightening. I really kind of always thought, you know, well, I am who I am, you know, and I get to, you know, I get to create who I am. And that is, you know, true to an extent. But if you don't recognize those early imprints that were made, that you may be doing things subconsciously that are sabotaging the things that you're trying to build, but you don't even realize that you're acting out in that way or that you're thinking in that manner. And so, you know, getting to the root cause, whether it is in your health or your emotions or your mindset, I think is super important.
Oh, absolutely. Another thing is changing that story. Mm-hmm. The story that we started out with, whether we were in a stable childhood or an unstable childhood, there are those factors that are still feeding into our life, words that we heard that are kind of in the back of our mind, subconscious, whether it was from family or from those bullies at school. The bullies at school, I think, are the worst. There's some of those people that are out there that were those bullies. Well, why were you a bully? What are those factors that worked into your life that created the person that you were? But know that you do not have to continue on being the person that you were. we are continually evolving. And as we're feeding things into our life, then things are flowing from us. So my question to our audience is, what is flowing from you? What are you doing to serve others? And I empower you. There is so much that I know each and every one of you have to offer to somebody else. And even in busy, busy schedules, take some time, self-care, absolutely self-care, but also share some of the care that's within you to somebody else. And I know last week we spoke about self-care, Heather. You're very much into self-care. And if we don't take care of ourselves, how are we supposed to be able to efficiently take care of others, right?
Yeah, I mean, so much of mine is the, you know, just the quiet time, you know, having the time to think, having the time to pray, having the time to read. And in order for mom to get that time, either, you know, I have to become an early bird or a night owl. And I've chosen early bird. And that gives me, you know, like an hour, hour and a half to just kind of ease into the day and see the things that are going to be coming up and being important. But yeah, self-care, building your morning routines, your evening routines. I read a book a while back on putting margin into your life. And that was very eye-opening for me. I had, you know, every 15 minutes scheduled. And I forgot, you know, it actually takes me time to get from one place to another place. So I'm like habitually late. So I'm always leaving when I need to be somewhere. Like if it, you know, starts at 10, I'm leaving the driveway 9:58. I'm like, whoa. So, you know, building that margin into your life, I think is part of self-care too.
Oh, absolutely. I know with my schedule, I was like you. It's like every 15 minutes was scheduled. Every 30 minutes, I was back to back on clients. And I'm like, hold on, let's take a minute. I need to take my notes. I need to, you know, just regenerate myself, because we're working with people. They can be very energy draining. So we need to keep our energy levels up, and prayer and starting the day, asking God to guide you, to fill you, give you the wisdom that you will need throughout the day, and also the protection of your mind, your heart, your physical being, depending on what you do in your life. All of those things are things that we need to not neglect in asking for protection and guidance. I personally don't believe in things happening by chance. Everything's designed, but we do have some factoring in that design through our own intentions, our own beliefs, and our own thoughts, and how we guide our day with direction. So we've all been given a purpose. I encourage you to find your purpose and how you are going to empower others to find their purpose also.
I like that, because, you know, when you're lit up, you can light somebody else up.
You know, we've gone, 2 years of having those smiles covered. Don't forget how powerful your smile can be for somebody. Absolutely powerful.
Yeah, that's something I notice, you know, when I go into the stores, how many people still just kind of look down, or they're looking out, they're not making the eye contact. And to just do that and say, hey, hi, you know, smile and wave, you know, I kind of live in the country and we maybe have like 20 houses that are out in our area, and you're coming up and down the road. I'm always waving at everybody. My kids in the backseat, who's that? I'm like, I don't know. I just wave and say hi, give them a smile. I mean, if that happens to you, doesn't it make you feel better? It's like, oh, they saw me. And you know, so many people are walking around unseen. And if you give them that 2 seconds, you know, 30 seconds more, if you're not driving, right? If you can, to give them more time to be seen. You know, you mentioned the last 2 years, a lot of us were not seen. And, you know, maybe we're seen a little bit over our Zoom and our filters, But it's not the same as that, you know, in-person energy that you feel when you do communicate with someone.
You're absolutely right. When I go to the grocery store, or even when I'm pumping gas, saying hello to the person that's there next to me and saying, how are you today? I hope you're having a fabulous day. Or God bless you. Mom's car full of kids. God bless you. Just sharing some words of positive encouragement. As I go to the grocery store and going along, and it kills me to see so many people, you can see in their faces that they're not well. Just to stop and say, hello, how are you doing? People that are riding around in those electric shopping carts and they're looking up, stop, say, hey, can I get something for you? I know I did that the other day. Everything she was looking at was up high. I don't know if she knew it, but I kind of followed her around. And then as she needed something, I said, can I get something for you? She's like, you're such an angel. I said, no, God put me here for a reason. And today that reason is to help you. Just little things like that. Stopping and checking out of the busy, busy, busy. I had places to be, but right then and there, I needed to be present.
And being that difference, you know, being that one person, you might've been the only person that talked to them today.
And it's very true. People go all day long without having somebody to talk to. And I think that's where being part of a community and being part of an outreach, even if it's not one that's already established, create one. It's so easy to say, okay, God is calling me to do this. Lord, help me find somebody I can do this with. He provides the people that need you. I mean, everything just falls into place when you put your intentions out there and you ask for it. And I love that, because that's what I did. I needed community. I needed a group of people that were like-minded, that I could work with, that I could help uplift not only them, but also their communities also, and provide a community that's safe for them to bring others into. And that is something that I invite our listeners to. If you are looking for a community, visit my website, betterbythemenatlife.com. With my guests, we have so many different communities that we are able to provide a way that you can be involved. You have talents. Please don't hesitate. Community is so important. And Heather, I just thank you for being on the show with me. This was kind of off the cuff, but I love it. It's real, people. Real conversation between
two friends. Well, thank you, Becca. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you, Heather. And again, go to my website. You'll find the information on how you can get in contact with Heather as well there under guests. We will see you next week on Better by the Minute Life with Becca. I am Becca Dukes, and you are listening to KSCO 1080 AM Santa Cruz. Bye for now.